This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
Welcome to Thanks a MILF.
Thanks a MILF for coming along.
Anyone who's listened to this is a diehard fan now, aren't they? Because they've gone to the trouble of subscribe
and
to
if
this
you're
bit.
Here, let us know on Instagram because you will get priority. We have a whopper one for you today. Thanks for coming along.
What kind of priority will they get? Like aisle seat, window seat, like what? Like boarding first? Like what?
Well, their messages and suggestions will be up at the top of the queue.
Oh, I see. That's nice.
Has to be.
I like that. Yeah, I like that. I like the fan, the proper fan, the diehard fans should get some.
Absolutely. Hmm. I actually had a terrible memory there the other day.
Oh, gosh, here she goes. We've just triggered her. I'm just, in case you weren't heard, Laura. Laura said, do you remember the bouncers at Wesley? And she goes, yeah. And suddenly your face went, oh, I just have a terrible memory. So you've just been triggered by something.
No, it wasn't them, actually. We did this thing in school before where it was some sort of charity thing where we had to give out a leaflet or something. But we went into town for the whole day. It was like fourth year or something. And we were handing out the leaflets and the security guard at the door, I was chatting and flirting with him the whole time. He's like fucking well in his 20s. And then at the end of the day, he was saying, oh, if you want to come back for a bit of dinner or something. And I remember my little head was like, oh no, that's a step too far. I was like, I'll never come out of there. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what you think. Yeah. Yeah. And you could have been right. So,
but that they sent us off, like it was a school thing for charity and all these little young ones in town, like so vulnerable. Do you know what I mean?
All day. Nobody was minding us back then. No. We weren't minded.
No. Nobody would have thought.
Are they minded now? Or do they mind each other? I do feel like they're much more aware of alphas and people being curvy.
Yes.
So they talk to each other and kind of mind each other. Whereas we weren't aware and we didn't have those conversations and we just kind of innocently went along and did things and let people do things to us.
I think when we thought
of
like pervy alphas, they were like much, much older. They were like old, grander kind of age men. But like somebody who, like you're 14, 15, 16, and he's well into his 20s, maybe early 30s, you mightn't have considered him a creepy owl.
When you should have. And I do think
weird.
The young ones now, most of them think, like I certainly have heard them going, oh my God, like if somebody's in their 20s when they're 16, that's ancient. And that's right.
It is fucking right.
I always get a little bit worried when I see, like, you know, even 18-year-olds with somebody who's 28, 30. And you're like, stick to your own. That's for later.
No, not now. No, they're much cleverer, I think, now, the young people.
Yeah, I don't know if they're cleverer, but I think they're on this stuff. They have each other. They talk more. They're more aware.
And more on the ball.
Yeah. Well, they want to access information about anything. They literally just type it into their phones. That is a positive.
Can you imagine if you'd had that growing up?
Listen, I didn't know anything until I was 40. I'm telling you, I knew nothing.
Nothing?
Well,
you knew a few bits. By. You were getting by, yeah.
But I just mean, like, when I think now of how often I have to check something or look something up, and the fact that we had no way of doing that.
Yeah, like how did you get from A to B without a phone? Who knows?
Who knows?
Without looking it up.
Yeah.
It's a miracle we're all alive, really.
It's quite the miracle we're alive. I mean, I had a summer. Did I ever tell you about my drunk story in America? I was 18.
Yeah.
I think I was just 18. Okay, so I went to America for the summer because my sister Grania was out there. She was living in New York. So Mrs. just done me leaving cert for the second time, heads out to Why? I do not know. I had nothing else to do. Anyway, out I went to New York for the summer. Yeah. And then she goes, oh, it's too hot in New York now. We're going to go out to Long Island. And out we go to Long Island. And I'm meant to get a job, like a waitressing job. And I've never had a waitressing job. Okay. And I'm useless at it.
Yeah.
Beyond the beyonds can't do it, right? Because me, I can't remember who wanted what table numbers. I'm completely freaked.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm going to try and... I actually did this as a bit eventually,
okay.
But I'll try and get to the story where I could have been killed,
yeah,
like okay. Or abducted, or, yeah. Do you know what I mean? I was off my face. It was the first time I got drunk, very drunk ever.
Okay.
So would I have been, I might have been 17 or 18, but what happened was I got a job in a restaurant and I was I even a waitress? I might have been a bus girl, which was just cleaning the tables.
Yeah.
Anyway, in Long Island, there was in the morning, I went in this morning and there's a very big bit of the story that I need to tell you. I have to go back.
Yeah.
I have to go back to the setup.
Sorry.
I'll tell you now.
Yeah.
We were sharing a house with these like two very like sort of posh, like valley girls from LA.
Mm.
And they thought we were like fucking goblins, thick.
Mm.
Goblins, because we just, they were like literally like surfer dude type, blondie types. And you can imagine what we looked like. Back to, didn't have the gear,
yeah.
Pale jeans, runners. They were like, oh my, like they were taking coke and they were yeah. Like, they were doing it. They were surfing, taking cocaine. Like they were all, they were very nasally. When I think back on it now, I didn't realize like that was a cocaine.
Okay.
Way of speaking.
And like, these were so just kids having a laugh.
Well, they were like 20, 21.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Me and my sister, but we were clueless. I never had coke in my life. I was like, what? I didn't get it. It's only with hindsight. Now I know they were off their faces. Anyway, I had an incident. Me and Roy were sharing a bedroom and they didn't like us. They definitely wanted us out of the house. There was a bad vibe between us and them. We kept our distance. We were just renting a room in their house kind of thing. But anyway, one of the days I was ironing a shirt on the ground. Oh. And the fucking classic, what did I do? Burned the iron into the carpet. Panicked. And then tried to cover it with a rug. Got a little rug from somewhere, tried to cover it, said nothing, went off to work. Well, when I came back, oh my God, we have this carpet. You have burnt the carpet. You're going to have to replace it. It'll be like $500 to replace the carpet. Now, we were penniless.
Yeah, of course.
Like literally making enough money on the wages and whatever we were doing to get by. And that kind of thing. So it's like, oh, fuck. And they said, like, get out, basically. So we moved house. They threw us out, essentially. And we moved house.
Yeah.
Grania had friends. And we found a place up on Montauk Highway, okay?
Yeah.
Which was a few miles up the road. And we moved house. And the next morning, I got up and went to work, right?
Okay, yeah.
Okay, now, so that's the setup. In I went to work. This is all totally, completely true. Very little exaggeration here.
Yeah.
Right? When it rains in Long Island, as I said to you, nobody goes out.
Okay,
it's like raining. You wouldn't leave your house. Not like here. We just go out. It's raining. Yeah. Everyone goes out, gets on with their day. Not there. This is like, oh my God, it's like raining. So I'm in the restaurant and there's no one in the restaurant now except me, another waitress, the chef and the barman.
Okay.
So we start drinking.
Of course.
Sit up here at the bar. The place is empty. What else are we going to do? I'm the height of crack. They think I'm fabulous.
Is this where it all begun?
This is where it all began.
Yeah.
We learned to entertain everybody now, sitting up at the bar. So we start drinking vodka and coke. I think I was drinking vodka and coke. But then the barman goes, let's have shots. Now, I'd never had shots. And I thought they were the cutest little drinks. I was going, little fairy drinks in little fairy glasses. That was what I thought of the shots. So I'd throw one down and like, and then I'd have a regular vodka and coke just to soften the heat of the fairy drink. So we started the drinking at about, what time I'd gone in there? Let's say 9 a.m.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Next thing I knew, I was still sitting at the bar.
Yeah.
And it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I'd been talking and laughing and skipping and drinking. And I suddenly went, oh my God, it's the 3 o'clock?
Yeah.
Like I was meant to be home at like, 2 or 1 or 2 or something.
Mm.
Said, oh my God, I have to go. And only when I got off the stool, I realised my knees buckled Like they went. I didn't know I was drunk. Do you know, sometimes you're just talking and then you don't know. It's only when you go to move. So I got off the stool. I'd love to do this for you now, but there's no point moving away from the mic. Anyway, the legs went. I remember I couldn't stand up straight. I was like Bambi. I was like that, you know, like just a newborn. What was Bambi? Deer. And I was trying to... The lapses in the brain are shocking. Anyway, trying to straighten the legs, trying to straighten the legs. I thought, oh my God, what's happening? Struggled, got to the bathroom, the fucking head started spinning straight into the toilet. Vomit straight away. Oh, I was in an awful state. An awful state. Now, I now know I was definitely poisoned. Like, it was alcoholic poisoning. No food and shots and thing for 6 hours and a child. Like, I hadn't a clue. Anyway, so the next thing, the barman or the chef, one of them goes, I think they all realised. Like, I was only 18, but I had told them I was 40. You know, I told them I was 23 or 4, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
So they all panicked a bit because I was in such a state. And oh my God, she's sick. So he said, okay, I'll take you home. I'll drop you home. Yeah. Great. I was now not talking. I was just like trying to get into the car, like barely able to stand. Yeah. Okay, yeah. I get into the passenger seat and he said, now, where do you live? I said, just around the corner. And he dumps me out and he says, okay, I'll just wait till you get in the door. But I was too embarrassed because I knew I couldn't walk. Yeah. I couldn't straighten the legs. So I didn't want him to watch me walk into the door. So I said, no, you go. You go now. I insisted, you go. Please go, because I wouldn't have him watch me.
Yeah.
And when he went, what happened? I went to knock on the door and who answers the door? The blonde Valley girls. I'd gone to the wrong house, the house I'd been thrown out of. I'm now standing at her door, the fucking image of Shane McGowan. I'm literally like white as a sheet. I've been sick, I'm hammered.
Yeah.
And she's going, oh my God, you like so don't live here anymore? And it all comes rushing back and I go, oh my God, I don't live here. And not only do I not live here, I don't know where I live. I don't know the address. We had no mobile phones. I couldn't ring my sister. I couldn't ring anyone. We didn't have phones. I was just locked. And I was like, oh God, okay, yeah, sorry. And I do remember saying, she said, you left here. You moved from here. She's looking, I think she's feeling sorry for me. And she goes, you moved from here like yesterday. And I said to her, I don't suppose you have any idea where I moved to. And she said, oh my God, you are so, and then whatever, she said something like so drunk, so something, and she slammed the door. And all I knew was that we knew there was a fellow who lived across the road.
Yeah.
So I stumbled across the road. Now this is the bit of how am I alive. I remember the beeping of cars. I must have been stumbling
and
across.
Just like,
beep, beep,
you're just
beep,
floating across the road as best as you can.
A child, like 17 or 18. Beep, beep, beep. Get over to Stuart's house. We knew Stuart. Yeah. It's all very dark. I tried to knock on the door. There's nobody there. I go round the back and there was a couple of sun loungers. Lay down on the sun lounger. Fell asleep. Slept on the sun lounger for a couple of hours. Got sick again. Yeah. Then got up and then I was a bit more together, but I was still stumbling. Yeah. So I walked down to a previous restaurant I had worked in where I'd been a bus girl in a Greek restaurant, and I arrived down to there and I thought, okay, I know where I am. I'll get them to call me a cab. I had to get coins for the phone box.
Yeah.
So I go in, green in the face. Oh my God, hey, beautiful. Hey, Irish is back. Hey, how you doing, beautiful? You okay? You don't look so good. I'm like, oh no, not well. Can I have a cup of tea, please? Make me tea. Mm. And they made me a cup of tea. And then I got a couple of coins and I went out and got a number for the cab. And I called the cab and wait, you hear what I said. So the cab goes, all I knew was that, as far as I was concerned, I was at the bottom of Montauk Highway and I lived at the top.
Okay.
Now, Montauk Highway, I now realise, is probably 100 kilometres in length. But I had no sense of this. So I'm going, hiya, can I just get a cab, please? I'm at the such and such a diner, the Greek diner. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, and where are you going, lady? I'm going to just the top of Montauk Highway. I'm sorry, the top? Yeah, it's not far. It's about 10, it's about 5 or 10 minutes. About 5 or 10 minutes. I'll show you, I'll show you. I have no clue, no address. So he pulls in, I get into the car and he goes, and I go, it's straight up this way. And I said, and you'll know it because there's about, this was the only visual I could remember. I said, there's about 10 post boxes, you know, those American post boxes, yeah. About 10 of them in a row outside the house. And he said, okay. And I fell asleep in the passenger seat. Now, how was I not killed? Like this, if I, that could have been anyone. Do you know what I mean? Imagine if your child now at 18 fell asleep in a cab drunk in the passenger seat.
So he not just fell asleep in a cab. Mm. You were falling asleep and puking all over town before you got into the cab.
Yeah, absolutely. I was poisoned. Anyway, so he kept nudging me. And kept nudging me, going, lady, can you tell me where the house is? And like, I now realised we were in the car for the guts of an hour. And I kept saying, no, I kept waking up and going, did you see the post boxes yet? And he'd say, no, I haven't seen the post boxes. And I go, no, you've gone too far. Go back, go back. And anyway, I'd be falling asleep up and down. And eventually I said, there they are. There they are. I saw the post boxes. I mean, that was a miracle.
Yeah.
The fact that I even saw them. And he said, bless him, he must have been a really lovely man. We've passed here like 20 times. And I said, you fucking blind bastard. Kind of jokingly. And then he sort of looked at me and he said, okay, lady, that's $70. $70. Now, I'd taken a cab in that morning and it had been $5.
Yeah.
So I got up on my high horse. I said, excuse me, $70? I got a cab in here this morning. It was $5. What are you talking about? Lady, you've been in like the car for like an hour. I was like, listen, I had nothing. I was lucky if I had five. Yeah. I gave him the five. I said, I'm really sorry. I've nothing now. Anyway, I went to give him the five and he said, and then he said to me, you know, lady, I don't want your money. You have a problem. You have a problem. I think he said,
and you're 18, like.
I'm like 18, you have a problem, I don't want your money. He said, and I think later when I was writing the joke, he said, I believe your people have a problem. I then got out of the car. I had no sense of what was happening. I got out of the car. There was a swimming pool beside the new gaff, yeah. And I jumped in the clothes. I was in shorts, runner's t-shirt. I jumped in. I was dragged out of it. Put to bed.
Dragged out of it.
The sister and somebody else and saw the fucking state. Me pulled me out of the pool, put me into the bed, and all I kept saying was, set the clock. I have to be in work. At like 7 o'clock in the morning, something like that, right? So here's the next thing that happened. Deirdre went into a coma. Right, this is how I know I was alcoholic.
Yeah.
Into a kind of a coma, and the next thing, the alarm went. Jumped up, you know, as you do automatically.
Yeah, yeah.
Jumped up, got dressed, called a cab to take me to work. The cab came. I was in the back of the cab and I was looking out the window and I thought, it's very dark. It's very dark. So I said to the driver from the back of the seat, sorry, what time is it? And he said, it's like 5 a.m. I didn't need to be in until 7 or 8. And I said, oh God, sorry, I'm after making a mistake. I said, sorry, no, pull in and go back. I'm after making a mistake. And this man pulled into the side of the road and he put his head down on the steering wheel on his arm and he started crying. It was the same driver. It was the same driver. He did the, I didn't know whether he was laughing or what he was doing. I just saw him do this.
Oh my God.
Like as much as I'm going to fucking, this fucking one again. Oh my God.
You fucking broke him.
I broke him. He was crying and I was now back to normal and I said,
yeah, yeah, he'd made
and I had a vague memory and I said, oh my God, I said, I'm very sorry. I think I owe you money. I said, I'm really sorry. And I said, no, will you just, I said, just take me back and I'll get you some money. And he dropped me back to the house and I said, I'll go in and get you. He said, no, lady, I don't want your money. I want you to promise that you will never call this number again. Anyway, there you go. That was the story.
But you were just having a bit of crack, like.
Well, I was poisoned. Like I possibly could have ended up in a hospital. Like, but what I'm saying is the danger. Like the danger.
I know.
Would and that happen? Would you. That actually happen to our kids now? Would I they have a phone? Would their friends stick with them? Would something? But I mean, I suppose when you think about what happened, or just I insisted he leave me at the door, and then how was I to remember that I'd moved house the day before? It was nuts.
It just feels like you, it was just you wandering around for 24 hours, fucked off your head,
stumbling around,
just relying on strangers
in America.
To kind of
yeah. Where all the horror stories come from, abductions and all the things we've listened. And there was no.
They drink at work, that's what it is, because they're not really your friends.
Yeah.
That's
oh,
true,
no, I didn't
yeah.
know. Yeah. And I did.
With free drink and nobody's really looking after anyone.
No. So yeah.
Oh, but
yeah, it's just one of those things. But when you think back to stories like that, you think, oh my God, are our kids going to do that? And the answer is yes, in
yeah.
a different way. They will. And they will end up hammered somewhere.
I see, because
that's why
yeah.
I always teach mine about drinking. I'm always like trying to say, you know, have food and this is
yes.
going to happen and you are going to get sick. And for I would way prefer if you rang me. I'll come and get you from anywhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anywhere,
from anywhere.
What time it is.
Yeah,
what's after
doesn't
happening.
Matter. Just,
yeah.
Yeah.
I did all that with Ella. I gave her the, like, whatever's going on with anyone, even if it's not you, even if it's a mate. I was like, give me a buzz. It's totally
oh, yeah.
cool with me.
At any hour.
Any time, whatever the mm. fuck has happened. Nothing. She doesn't
Then you
drink.
Have the dilemma of leaving your phone on
oh.
beside your bed because you're thinking there could be a call from a child. But in actual fact, there could be a call from someone you know who lives in America or is in a different time zone or even a text. And your
mm.
phone will be going beepity beep beep, buzz, buzz, buzz all fucking night. But you're afraid to turn it off. Because you've told the teenager,
call
the phone
me.
Will be on at all times. That's a problem.
That's very
I don't
tricky
know how
for
to
you.
Solve that problem. Yeah. I don't have it at the moment because Dan's not out yet.
Okay.
She's away. But I had it. I had it in the beginning going, oh, Christ, there's text and people are texting. Because people think they can text away because everyone's got into quiet mode.
Yes.
But
yeah.
Don't
I
worry
know.
About texting you now at night or anything.
No, no. Not at all.
You think she's going to have her phone on silent, but you can't if you're waiting for a teenager.
Well, you see, Ella is very, she doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, doesn't do nothing.
They're a much more sensible generation.
Very sensible. I was kind of getting ready to live vicariously through her. I thought it was going to be like, you know,
But you see, I think this is back to, you know, as I said the other night, like they've got Netflix and phones and they're entertained. We didn't have any entertainment.
No.
So we went mad.
Oh, I went mental. I nearly killed a friend of mine.
How?
Alcohol. I nearly
Again?
Killed her. Yeah, yeah. Like your story, she was that fucked, but I was with her.
Right.
And I was like, I don't know what age were we, 14, 15? But I was adamant. I was like, we can't tell our parents. And I was like, come on, we take her to your house and we'll wash her. And the other friend, we'll get her livened up. We'll get her fine.
We'll get her livened
we'll
up.
Her
in actual fact, she possibly needed her stomach pumped. Yeah, because this is what happens. They
I was
end
like,
up
we'll get her home
hospital.
For dinner. I was like, we'll have her back for dinner. She'll be grand. So
a little sensible head on you all the same. We'll wash her.
She's covered
a
in
good
sick.
Wash.
She was covered
a good
in sick.
Wash.
I was like, we'll wash her. She'll be fine.
Do you know back in the day when women were having breakdowns, everybody thought, we go in and clean her house. We'll go in and clean her house. And that was a big
though.
Thing.
Yeah,
clean
yeah.
her kitchen and give her a wash. And if she had a shower now and a rest, she'd be grand when she needed to be in John of God's. But that's what people thought. We're having a psychotic episode. People said,
I know, yeah.
Do you know, we go in now, we'll clean her house for her. That's what you were doing. We'd give her a
yeah.
wash.
She I was, said we'd give her a wash and we'd
yeah.
get her cleaned up and we'd get her home for dinner. But the other friend was bottling her and she rang her mom. So the mom, her mom, I was like, I was basically like, I'm not getting in touch with my mother under no circumstances. I was like, I'll get a defib on her. We're not ringing my fucking ma. I was like, it's not happening.
Okay, but the
so
friend panicked.
She panicked. She bottled it. She rang her mom.
Right.
They scooted her off.
To the hospital?
To the hospital, yeah. And I held it. Because they said, you need to go home and tell your mom. I was like, okay. Didn't tell her. Went home. Got sick in me bed. Fucking discarded it at that evidence. Went and had dinner with the family in an absolute heap.
Wow. Emma.
Was on watch for about 2 weeks. Every time the doorbell or the phone went.
You were afraid.
Oh, get it. like...
You kept all that to yourself yeah. for 2 weeks. And oh, did yeah. the story ever come out that the nope. friend had ended up in hospital?
No, never.
Oh, you played a blinder. Jessica Fletcher. If I said it once, you are lost to the crime world. Lost. She was able to keep all that to herself. Get the phone. Yeah. Say no bottling yeah. it here. You would have been a brilliant cop.
I was like, I'm not telling
I could
my
see
mom.
You in Happy Valley. Or
Yeah.
You know what you should do now? You should get yourself cast as a cop. You need to play a detective.
With the hair today, I think it's good.
Yeah. We'd be very good in a cop car together.
I'd love it. Wouldn't that be good?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd love it.
We write something for ourselves. Two cops can you undercover. See us, I can see us.
Can you see us running down a laneway? Yeah. Scurrying into the laneway.
Oh, yeah.
And diving into boxes.
Would we have guns? yeah. They don't have guns in Ireland, Deirdre.
Well, we could be special. Yeah.
Maybe detectives do. I think they do.
I think
at
we'd
the
be
high
good.
End and we would be at the top end.
Yeah, yeah, obviously. Yeah, we'd be the head of our game. But
I can
yeah.
see us doing a bit of stalking outside a house. Staking is the word.
Well, speaking of.
Staking! Not stalking!
Staking. Thank you so much for listening to Thanks a Milf. We will be back next Friday. And of course, our main episode
is out on Wednesday.
Keep it tight.
Keep it tight.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Head Stuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.